While you decide on that one, let's talk about the National Treasury. They've yet to blacklist corruption-accused Edwin Sodi's company. It's called Blackhead Consulting, from doing business with the state. This is despite the city of Tshwane having asked the Treasury in February to do so. Let me give you some background. Well, this follows Blackhead Consulting's failure to upgrade the city's Rooivaal waste water treatment works, contributing to the deaths of 29 people. It followed that cholera outbreak in Hammanskraal, and there's all sorts of stuff that didn't come from Rooivaal, then it did, and then there were glasses of water with all sorts of impurities in them, and politicians refused to drink those glasses. Anyway, Blackhead Consulting was part of a joint venture contracted in 2019 to upgrade the treatment works. And Corruption Watch says the 291 million rand job was discontinued in June 2022, with only 68% of the work completed, despite full payment having been made to the contractors. That doesn't sound right. And then people got sick in Hammanskraal. Now, Sodi is the director of the Blackhead Consulting Company. Has also been linked to corruption in the Free State Department of Human Settlements. The Hawks arrested him in September 2020 in relation to a 255 million rand asbestos audit project, which was scrutinized by the Zondo Commission. So you can see here there's a massive problem with his company and also with Sodi himself. On the line is Willie Matabula, who's the Chief Director, SCM Policy and Legal at the National Treasury. Hi, Mr. Matabula. Good afternoon. Welcome to 702.
Good afternoon, sir. And please, my apology. I've got some terrible fever, but thank you. Good afternoon to you and also to the Radio 702 listeners.
Oh, well, thank you for taking the time to chat to us this afternoon. I know it's not easy, but maybe you can answer, why is the company not blacklisted? What's the reasoning behind it? The DA spoke about this, or the City of Tshwane DA, a government spoke about this in February, but we're now in April and nothing's happened.
Maybe just to start off, maybe, you know, before even getting into the merits of the company referred to, I think it's important that at least we outline the process leading to any company, not necessarily this one, but any other company, to be placed on the list of restricted suppliers and then, of course, prohibited from doing business with the state. So the first thing, that's why I don't want to get into the merits of this particular one, because I know that there are interactions currently underway between the National Treasury and the City of Tshwane. I'm sure they will deal with that issue. But I'm just going to try and explain the process. Now, if the accounting officer, now we're talking about these are HODs, heads, DGs, and so on of government departments, of course, identifies that a particular contractor has either committed fraud or falsified information, or the issues of performance, poor performance, and of course the abuse in general of the procurement system. Then the accounting offices, of course, and accounting authorities in the case of public entities, are empowered to restrict any contractor from doing business, not only contractor, but also the directors of the companies involved. That's the first thing. So this is a power now given to the government institution and not necessarily the treasurer, but I'll explain the process. Now, what then they need to do, of course, if they, you know, come across any of the contraventions that I've just you know, highlighted, they need to write to the company.
Okay.
And you write to the company and, of course, state your intention to restrict, and also you provide reasons. And in addition, you also indicate the period for the intended restriction. That's very important. Now, the writing to companies is separate from writing to directors. So if you've got 20 directors, you also write individually. That's what the law requires, individually to the directors of the companies involved.
Yeah.
So in other words, so you write to the company, but also to the directors. That's what you do. And you say exactly, you stipulate what I've just indicated now. Now, and in the case of JVs or even consortia, it's very important, because it's very important that you also write individually to the members of the JVs, because remember, some JVs are incorporated, some are unincorporated. So it's very important to make that distinction, so that also the members of the JVs, including their companies, also get a notification to say, we intend to restrict you in this what for this reason and for this period.
Just for our audience, you talk about JVs, what do you mean?
Joint ventures.
Joint ventures, all right, okay.
Yeah, because these are joint ventures, okay. Mm-hmm. Now, so in other words, you write to them, and then you either deliver the notice to the addresses provided in the central supplier database, or even in the CIPC. This is the DTI registration kind of institutions, where when people register their companies, they provide their registration details. So you deliver. It's almost like you're delivering a summon to somebody. Yeah, right. And then you then allow these individuals, including the companies, to make representations. So now this is in terms of the rules of natural justice, which is the Audi Alteram. So you allow them to make representations. And you can also, allow them to make, kind of physical, presentations.
It's very labor intensive, though. It sounds like it's very long. I mean, I've written out poor performance that you said, and I've outlined it on my keypad here. I mean, surely, Edwin Sodi, it's poor performance. 68% of the work was done. They paid 295 million rand, all the money for that. Surely that should move a little bit faster in saying you didn't do what we asked you to do.
Yeah, that's fine. Hence, I'm saying maybe the merits of that case could always be measured against the process that I'm outlining. Now, it would be very interesting to know whether this process has been followed. Remember, this process is followed not by Treasury, but by, in this case, the City of Tshwane or any other, of course, government institution. Now, once you receive representations of whether or not the contractor agrees or present its case and so on, and then you take the reasons provided and you send them to, and then the accounting officer in this case, which is the city in this case, would then have to consider those representations. It shouldn't be a malicious compliance. Must be considered.
If I could just come in there, the City of Tshwane seems to have done that. That's why they're saying in February we've gone through this and we actually want you to blacklist his company. It just seems like we've been dragging our feet on this.
Yeah, look, I know that there is a meeting scheduled for Friday with the city, because I don't want to get involved in that, at least for now.
Yeah.
And then just to see where the gaps are and so on in terms of what the compliance issues.
Should Treasury not be more aggressive, though? More aggressive in this, because it sounds like a lot's going to fall between the cracks. And if you think of the business that's probably happened between February, March, and now we're now in April going towards May, Blackhead probably made quite a bit of more money, and probably, I'm not saying they have, but perhaps they haven't delivered the services that they should have once again.
Yeah. Remember that the process itself is prescribed in terms of the number of days when you send out, when should they respond, and when should you respond. And then after all this information that I'm speaking about, if at the end of the day the accounting officer decides to impose a restriction, and then he or she must submit that information to the treasurer. Gotcha. And the role of treasurer in this case is just to ensure that compliance, the due process, has been followed. Because remember, if you blacklist somebody and you've missed some of the processes, people always go to court and challenge, and then the whole thing falls flat and you're on the back foot. So from where we sit, we have to make absolutely sure that the process has been followed, all the T's have been crossed and the I's dotted before we can then place anyone's name on the list of restricted suppliers. Yeah. And I guess in this case, that's what the Treasury is doing. And then, I would appeal that the members of the public just be a little bit patient. I know the South Africans, we're always hard on ourselves.
We're a bit impatient with what happened with state capture and all the shenanigans that went on. And we were a little bit tired of seeing people making lots and lots and lots of money and then people in Hammanskraal get sick. I think we've lost our patience, to be honest.
I agree fully with you. I can't agree with you more on that one. Yeah. So all of us are. But if we can just make sure that the process is beyond reproach, and I can tell you that once you place those people on that list, then they are there.
Yeah. Just a final question. Money being recovered, if once they are blacklisted, what does Treasury do to get some of that money back? I spoke about what happened at Royval, 68% of the work done. Do you get your money back? What happens next?
Yeah, look, the issues around the recovery of any monies that may have been paid are an issue that law enforcement agencies will deal with. And of course, as the National Treasury, we do participate in those investigations. We do have a unit that deals with investigations of this nature within Treasury, and they work hand in hand with various law enforcement agencies to support them and to make sure that there is recovery of any money. So we're part and parcel of that process, but of course, in a support fashion rather than us leading. But
William Matsibula, who's the Chief Director, SCM Policy and Legal at the National Treasury. I hope you do feel better. I hope that the fever does pass and we speak to you again soon. All the best.